This morning I'm proclaiming the word of God from the gospel reading, Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your word, give us the encouragement of your spirit, so that we may give thanks to you and receive your gift of salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a part of our Lutheran tradition that we say there are no atheists, that everyone has a God. We define a God as that which we look to give us peace and joy in life, and that which we fear losing most of all. All human beings, by this definition, have something that acts as a God for them. It can be things like family, it's a good gift of God. It can be things like money and possessions, that's a very common one. It can even be things like someone's country. They're such patriots that their country is their God. Now, these things are all good to a certain extent, but none of them are the true God. One of the gifts that God gives us through our baptism into Christ is the freedom to see the true God and to put our trust in Him. Now today I'm going to take this understanding and give it a little twist, if you like, or at least look at it in another way. One of the common human experiences that we have is the experience of gratitude. We have thanks in our hearts. Talk to just about any human being you care to meet, and there'll be some stage in their life where they've felt great gratitude, even felt overwhelmed with gratitude. But where do we take it? When we are thankful, what should we do with it? Because what we do with our gratitude will reveal who our true God is. Now today, I'm proclaiming very good news to you, that our Lord Jesus, who died to take away our sins, is alive. Here we are gathered in His name. He is here with us. We can take our thanks to Him. He takes our thanks to the Father with us. And this is our path of salvation. We can do something with our thanks that brings us into communion with God. Now let's listen to today's text, which has at its heart who we give thanks to. On the way to Jerusalem, the text says, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. Now, on the way to Jerusalem, we should pay attention to these words because they are significant in the gospel. Early on in Luke, we hear this. It's in Luke chapter 9. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, He set His face to go to Jerusalem. Jesus has a mission. He has an end point, a goal. It's to go to Jerusalem, to take upon Himself the sins of the world, to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of all human beings. Now, on this path, with this goal in mind, He does not travel on a straight line geographically. Today in this text, He's between Samaria and Galilee. It's not a straight line as far as geography is concerned, but it is as far as His mission is concerned. Think about this as an analogy, and sorry to Collingwood fans here. GWS last week went to Brisbane, right? They went to Brisbane with their faces set to Melbourne. The MCG, the grand final, that's their goal. But to get there, they had to go north. So it is with Jesus. His goal is Jerusalem. His mission will be accomplished. But as part of that mission, here He is in this no man's land between Samaritan and Jew. As Jesus entered a village, 10 lepers approached Him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They keep their distance because they have infectious skin diseases. They cannot be integrated fully into the human community. Now, it will become apparent as the text goes on that here we have a mixed group of human beings. Jews and Gentiles don't normally hang out together. They normally have enmity. But sickness brings them together. The human divisions break down in the face of human need. We should pay attention to this as Christian people. It's significant. We see it in our world, of course, when we go to hospitals. As a pastor, I regularly go to hospitals and I see wards and there are people there who normally would not be hanging out together, but their sickness brings them together. And here we are in the church and we regularly start our services with a confession of sin. Our sickness brings us together. No matter what our native language is, no matter what our cultural heritage is, no matter what our socioeconomic status is, our gender is, we have a common need for healing from God. This is how it is with these lepers. They are brought together by their sickness. And they cry out to Jesus as Master to have mercy on them. Just pay attention, by the way, too, to that term Master. If you have time, go and look in your Gospels. Look at Luke's Gospel. And see how that term is used. You will find that it's used by disciples as they're on their way to understanding who Jesus is, but not there yet. Think of Peter, for example, in Luke's Gospel at the Transfiguration. Master, it's good that we're here, he says. He has some idea who Jesus is, but he has not reached the goal yet. These lepers call out to Jesus as Master. It's a term of respect and of understanding. They don't truly know yet, nevertheless, who he is. When Jesus saw them, and when Jesus sees, he acts in the Gospels. He said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. Now, this is not the first time in the Gospel that Jesus has healed someone with leprosy. If you go back to the beginning of the Gospel in chapter 5, there Jesus heals a fellow with leprosy, and only after he has healed him does he send him to the priest. Now, if you go back and look at Leviticus 14, you'll find out about the process of the priesthood and declaring people cleansed from their skin diseases from leprosy. In this text, though, before there's any evident healing, Jesus sends them. And he sends them to the priests to be declared cleansed from their leprosy. They go, the text says. And as they went, they were made clean. Later on, it's going to say the fellow sees himself to be healed. But it's a different word here. They are cleansed. This word is a temple word, we could say. It shows that as they go, they are brought into a state where they can be reintegrated into the worshipping community. They are cleansed, made fit to be part of the worshipping community again. And the text goes on, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, now it's the word healed, physical healing, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. He was a Samaritan. It's curious to know which priests he was headed towards. For a Jewish person, the priesthood and the temple belong together. It's quite easy to understand where to go. But where should a Samaritan go if a Jewish rabbi tells him to present himself to the priests? This sort of question is evident in John's Gospel. Do you remember the woman at the well? The woman at the well has a discussion with Jesus about the right place to worship. And there Jesus says, salvation is from the Jews. But he also adds this, but the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. This is what's going on in today's text. We have a true worshipper worshipping in spirit and in truth. Let's think about what this guy actually does. What's the body language here? Well, first of all, the fellow turns around. He turns back towards the true priest, Jesus Christ himself. He praises God with a loud voice, the text says, and he prostrates himself at Jesus' feet. A literal rendering here of the Greek text would be, he fell on his face at Jesus' feet. Now picture that, if you will, in your mind's eye. I bet you've never seen anything like this in your lives. You've never seen anyone prostrated at the feet of another person. It's what this healed, cleansed Samaritan leper does with the body of Jesus. Falls at his feet. And the text says that he gives thanks to Jesus. If you go in the Gospels, people only thank God. And here we have the one example in the Gospel of Jesus being thanked. Here we have a revelation, in other words, of the divinity of Christ made by a healed, cleansed Samaritan leper. Jesus receives this worship. He receives this thanks as fitting. Then the text changes gear. Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Were none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Do you reckon these other lepers gave thanks to God, generally speaking? I would suppose that they did. But the Samaritan gave thanks specifically to the God made flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ. He was given wisdom by God to take his thanks, to take his overflow of gratitude to the true God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Samaritans had rejected Jesus when he was on the way to Jerusalem, but this Samaritan, cleansed and healed, gives thanks to him. And then we come to the climax of this text. Then Jesus said to the man, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This could just as easily be translated the exact same word in Greek, "Your faith has saved you." First of all, the man is cleansed, he is healed, and now he is saved, the text says. Now when Jesus says, "Get up and go on your way," this is the language that's used of Jesus. He is on the way of God's will. Get up and go on this way. He's also given the gift of encouragement in faith. Your actions, your prostration before my feet, your thanksgiving is true faith in the true God. And this brings salvation. This brings you into the community of God. You are truly integrated, not simply back into the human community through your cleansing, or even into the worshiping community of the Jewish people, but into the very community of the triune God. Your faith has saved you. Now today, let's think about what God has given us. Here we have a great opportunity this Sunday morning, set aside to receive God's service to us in worship, to think about the good things that God has given us. Now I'll bet when you come here, many of you come with difficulties, maybe with physical difficulties or financial difficulties or relationship difficulties. It's hard to exist as a human being for long without these cropping up. But isn't it also the case that we have many things to give thanks to God for? Why don't we think about this? Why not take some time now, right now, to think about the good things that God has given you. I spend a lot of time worrying, but when I pause and think, there are many, many good gifts that God has given me. There are many good gifts that God has given you. And there are good gifts that we receive in common. Our common gift of baptism into the Lord Jesus Christ. Our common sharing in the Word of God. Our common sharing in the life of Christian love. Our common sharing the freedom that we have to encourage each other in what is good, to share each other's sorrows, and to rejoice in each other's joys. We have many good gifts from God. And the good news is that Jesus is here to receive our thanks and to lead us on the path of salvation. We don't need to bottle our thanks up. We don't need to take it to other resources or locations which won't give us salvation. We are free to take our thanks to Jesus Christ. And to hear his words, your faith has saved you. This is where we are as God's people. So let's listen to God's word. Trust that indeed our Lord is here, as he promises by his word to be. Let's give our thanks to him, and let's let him take us with our thanks to the Father, so that we live in the communion of love, the triune God, and share love with one another. Well, may God achieve this goal in our lives as individuals and in our lives as a congregation for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.